You are listening to the first episode of Midnight FPL, where we usually aim to record on Monday at midnight so we can be first out the blocks after each game week to give you a bit of content that tries to be funny, probably isn't, but between mates from school. On this occasion, however, it's currently Wednesday afternoon slash evening because we've had a few issues getting started. We describe ourselves in our bio as a group of average players giving average advice on fantasy, which I actually reflected on and thought is quite harsh because Sam and myself tend to come top of most mini leagues. And then I reflected again and thought, well, if you take the mean of good and bad, it does lead to average. So it does actually work because Joel, you are consistently pretty shite at fantasy football. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong there. It's not been a great start to the season, but I've been a big fantasy football fan for the last eight seasons now, but it's not getting better after each year.
Sam, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Sam. I am a diehard Fulham fan. Currently, I have to admit, dying hard as a Fulham fan, despite our result last week against West Brom is very promising. I also like to think that I'm the best fantasy player here. I'm sure Louis will probably disagree with that, but on that basis, I think you should listen to what I say before what especially Joel says, but possibly even what Louis says. And I'm a Libra.
What does that mean?
My star sign.
Not essential. I think I'm a Cancer, but I'm not sure. Also, I'm just here to facilitate debate, Sam, as the host. I'm not going to give any opinions. You know me, quite reserved and shy with that kind of thing. Just to start off, before we get into genuine fantasy content, just to flag up the fact that we've got a competition this week, which is our pinned on our Twitter. Check it out, at Midnight FPL. Currently on 80 followers, which is pretty good going, but our ratios aren't great. You can win yourself an England 2020 football shirt. The new shirt is actually really nice. All you simply have to do is guess who is going to be the king of this game week, i.e. who's going to score the most points. Send that in to us on DM and drop us a follow, and then we will send you an England shirt for the winner. Okay, so getting started on part one, we're going to have a look back on the last game week. If I had to summarise the last game week, I would say that it was kind of a return to normality. After the week before where most players blanked, it seemed like most players kind of did okay. But does the new normal include Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson not getting any points? Because everyone else seems to suddenly, we've had patience with, doing well, but they continue to blank. Joel and Sam, what went well, what went badly for you? I'll start with Joel.
Yeah, so good game week for me. Grealish banged, got 15 points, which I'm pretty happy about, but took a minus four to bring in Kane and Foden because I hadn't had Kane all season. I was stressing about that. Bought him in and Foden in for De Bruyne and Jimenez, and as it turned out, I didn't need to take the minus four because they got exactly the same points. So pretty annoyed about that because would have been better off not making the transfers, but what can you do? He always makes stupid things like that. So,
not Samuel, what went well? What went badly? And what did you learn?
I'd say what went well is one thing I was quite satisfied with was Neto scoring some points because not many people have him. I got some points from some other players. I got 55, two above the average, but generally quite disappointed as I think both of you two did better than me. What I did particularly badly is removing Callum Wilson for Che Adams. I think Che Adams is a good call in the long run, but at the moment we saw Callum Wilson got a couple of goals last week and it was a bit disappointing, but at least I didn't take a minus four.
Yeah, Callum Wilson's on fire at the moment. Everyone's on Twitter, everyone's raving about Callum Wilson. Third highest point scorer for attackers so far this season, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't so sure about him in the long run. He was a bit inconsistent last season as well for Bournemouth.
I'd be more sure of him than Che Adams with Danny Ings out for 6 weeks. I think Southampton will drop off. I think he's a major part of the way they play. Going on to what I did well and what I did badly, I got 60 points, which I was pretty chuffed with. Kept faith with Potlins, which I was happy with. The thing I was probably most annoyed with is keeping faith in Podence, because if I hadn't, I probably would have bought in Grealish. So, yeah, bit of a double-edged sword that. Then moving on to next week, we'll start with Sam this time. Quick answer, captain, any transfers?
The captain is going to have to be, well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Harry Kane. My transfers are going to be Ademola Lookman in midfield, because purely the amount of shots and how dangerous he looks after every game. Of course, I'm a Fulham fan, so I love to see it. And because I've got two free transfers, I'm hoping to swap out Lookman for Greenwood, and then hopefully bring in Timo Werner up front, as I think he will fire against Sheffield United at home.
Quite a lot of transfers, Joel.
Yeah, just the one free transfer for me. I've got quite a lot of money in the bank, so I could bring in Ziyech for Neto. But I'm getting pretty fed up with Trent, so I'm thinking about maybe taking him out. But I don't want to take another minus four. Every time I do a minus four, it goes wrong. So I think I'll have to decide close to the time between Ziyech and some defender. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I've got two free transfers. I mean, I might use both, downgrade Trent, upgrade Podence, but I would like to only use one, ideally, so I can have two free transfers over the international break, because we all know anything can happen there, COVID, injuries, etc. So I always like to have two going into an international break. That's it for part one. I hope you enjoyed a relatively dry summary of our teams, and we'll hope it gets a bit more interesting after the break. Okay, so in part two, we're going to take a bit of a tangent, which might not be genuinely practical, useful fantasy football advice. I mean, it won't be genuinely useful, practical advice, but it might be a bit of fun. So what we're going to do is a list of categories. The first one being this week, to celebrate England's Six Nations win, is which rugby player would be, which football player in FPL would be the best at rugby. And we're doing it by pricing them in a fantasy style. So you've got the best footballer playing rugby would be the salary equivalent, 12.4 currently priced, and we'll use as the low barometer Nyland, sort of everyone's bench fodder, who's been released by Aston Villa and won't get a single point this season. I'll get started. I think you guys both played rugby with me and know that I did my very best at scrum half to never make a tackle hiding behind rucks, but I think even I would back myself to put in a pretty big hit on Riyad Mahrez, so he's going to be my Nyland equivalent.
I just think there's no chance Riyad Mahrez would be any good at a rugby pitch. He's got like twiggy little legs who just get snapped in half in seconds. I reckon he probably have a decent step on him, but I just think there's no chance he's doing anything, any damage on a rugby pitch.
Yeah, I mean, my little finger has more muscle on it than his legs. He is quite good though, to be fair.
He's actually struggled at the start of the season, and he's pissing me off that Pep's playing him over Foden, but that's got nothing to do with this. So, Sam, who would be your Salah? Who's your 12.4 million?
As tempted as I was to say the one and only Alexander Mitrovic, purely because of the fact that you will know playing against him that he's probably going to tear your head off. And that would probably be the nicest thing he'd do to you. But I'm going to go with Mikel Antonio. Power, pace,
yeah.
Decent amount of aggression in the centre. I think he'd be a really good player.
Yeah, he's a big lad as well. The thighs on him, you see, he pulls his shorts up all the time during football.
Yeah, he does. He'd love to be a rugby legs. Player.
Yeah, he gets
Antonio's stuck. A great shout. I might add another one into the mix, Adama Traore as well. I think similar, nifty one, absolutely rapid.
Yeah.
He is Spanish, though.
Yeah, he's not going to have much of a rugby background. You never know.
The size of him, though, you've got to have him in your team. Like, he's huge. Like, you give him the ball on the wing, he's running over most players.
Imagine you've got Mahrez. You know those players yeah. have never played before? They run sideways to each touchline.
Yeah. But you imagine if Mahrez comes up against Traore on the wing. No chance. Traore is running straight over him.
Joel, I'm going to add in a slightly different question. Who is your Jack Grealish, let's say someone who's priced at seven but is going to outperform that? So you necessarily wouldn't think they're going to do that well.
I think if you're looking for kind of someone to play in the forwards, kind of quite good in the line outs, quite a good leader for the pack, I think you got to go Tyrone Mings. big guy. As I said, he'll be winning lineouts, stealing lineouts. He'll be in charge. He's your man. And he looks like he's tough. He looks like he gets stuck in the rucks and all that kind of stuff. So I think Tyrone Mings is probably quite a good shout, having your second row.
Yeah, he's a proper Mario Toge, slap everyone on the arse after a lineout and get everyone out. Yeah. I've had another person in for the 4.0 Nylon shout. And I think that could be Caparezi Balaga, just because I think he would drop it every time.
Yeah.
The inside centre's not seeing it.
Yeah, he can't catch any football, so he's not going to be catching any rugby balls anytime soon.
If I'm honest, I think he would be better at rugby than he is at football.
Yeah, right.
But
can you imagine
it'd be half time, or it would be, I don't know, after 20 minutes playing, the manager would be like, "Oh, Kepa, you're coming off." He'd just stand there saying, no, mate, I'm not. I'm staying on. We all know what he's like when he gets told to be sub.
He looks like such a little kid. He's just got annoyed because his dad sent him to the corner or something.
Yeah. Right, so moving on to part three. This is a section that we call differentials. Differentials are basically, you probably already know, but picks that have low ownership, so ways you can make up ground if you're already lagging behind in your mini league. And the way we're going to format this is we're each going to pick three players whose total ownership has to add up to below 10%. They all have to be from different clubs, and a defender, a midfielder, and an attacker. It will be a forfeit for whoever gets the lowest out of the three of us, which will be decided in due course, but sufficiently embarrassing. Joel, do you want to get started on your trio?
Yeah, so at the back, I've gone for Patrick Van Aanholt. He's been out all this season injured, but he played last week, and last season he had unreal attacking returns. So at just 0.3% selection, I think he has a lot to offer going forward, but also at the back, because Crystal Palace got some good fixtures coming up. And I think he takes a few set pieces, pretty good at whipping in corners, all that kind of stuff. So I think Patrick Van Aanholt's quite a good shout. In midfield, I've gone for Gareth Bale, the Welsh wizard. Only selected by 1.1%. Got his first goal since returning back to Spurs. Like we all know, Spurs are flying at the moment. Everyone has Son and Kane. I think if you want slightly under the radar, in the sense not as many people has him, I think Gareth Bale would be quite good in that sense. So
I mean, I don't know if that's good advice, though. I don't think he's going to start. I don't think Jose Mourinho fancies him, to be honest. Because of all that stuff he said about he wasn't the same player.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's got his goal. So he's obviously, he started straight out of the blocks with now that he's getting some game time. I know he missed that sitter against West Ham the other day, but I think if you're looking for someone who isn't selected by many people and is playing for a team who are well informed, I think Gareth Bale might be your guy. But I mean, who knows? Like, I never pick anyone good in my team. So
definitely don't listen to that. To those who are listening, do not listen. So basically, don't listen to anything that Joel says about fantasy. Only listen to the last section, his opinion on what rugby players they would be.
The notion that you would genuinely like take out an expensive midfielder and bring in Gareth Bale. So what are you going to do? Take out Son for Bale? Like, it's just absurd advice and really reflects why you're so shit. The other thing is that on Thursday we'll be able to tell if Bale's going to play on Saturday, because if he doesn't play him in the Europa League, then I think he probably will start. But I'd imagine he probably will start the Europa League, and they'll just go with Lamella or Bergwijn or Lucas on the weekend.
Well, surely Bale's got to be better than like Lamella and Lucas, you know? Like, surely, there's no way.
But how much Bale have you actually watched as well? Since he left Tottenham, how many actual Bale games have you watched? It's the Champions League finals, I reckon. And I reckon that is genuinely it.
I know, but he's got his goal. He's on the score sheet. He's in
form.
Basically,
you're saying you know more than the whole of the Real Madrid coaching staff, Zinedine Zidane. You know more about football than Zinedine Zidane.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see next week. When Bale bangs a hat-trick against West Brom, I'll be the one laughing. So we'll see what happens.
I can't wait to see what your forfeit is. I reckon we should we should let the listeners decide based on just listening to Jar. Surely they'd love to see him.
It's a good way to get out of a forfeit, saying that our zero listeners can decide.
Well, if we're lucky enough to get one listener other than ourselves,
they can decide what we do.
I think they should decide what we do.
Get my dad to listen and make him give me something really easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll move on to my man up top. I've gone for Ollie Wilkins, the Villa striker.
He's called Watkins.
Watkins.
Right.
Joe, you're going to do badly at this.
Let me start again.
Anyway. You've gone for Ollie Wilkins, Gareth Bale, and
anyway, moving on to my man up top, I've got Ollie Wilkins. I've done it again. My third choice is Ollie Watkins up top, Villa forward. Scored a goal the other day. He's on pens. Villa's fixtures coming up looking pretty good. Only selected by 4.8%. So I think he's definitely a good shout for some low selected forward cover.
On penalties is a game changer for Watkins, because I didn't know he was going to take him for Villa.
Yeah, I'm really surprised at that. But penalties are...
Barkley or Grealish.
It was a nice penalty he took as well, I thought.
Yeah.
Nicely into the top right corner.
Naughty.
Sam, trio.
Okay. So I'm going to start up front with Anthony Martial. I think he's only selected, than about 4%. Anthony Martial. Do you have a problem with that, Joel?
Well, I'm not sure, mate. Anyway, keep
going.
This
is that classic.
Some expert analysis from Joel there.
Despise about this system is I've gone for three budget options that people can easily get to in one transfer.
Well, hang on, no one's going to have
a striker they can facilitate.
Let me get there.
I'm taking out Kane for Martial.
There.
You going to do that?
Let me get there. So as I was saying, Martial up front, I think he's only priced at 9.3 million, not a lot at all. In midfield, I was going to go with Ademola Lookman. Sorry to keep banging on about him.
Yeah, but mate, it's getting tiring.
He is playing very well for Fulham at the moment. He's bound to score goals, only 5 million, which should balance out the cost very nicely. And I think he's only selected by 0.5% of players, which will be a very nice differential for anyone who has him. And then in defence, I thought Nelson Semedo. And I know he's slightly more expensive for a defender, but my reasoning would be, I think I get the sense that all three of us are getting slightly tired of Liverpool defenders, especially now that Van Dijk's not there. They've got less of a chance of keeping clean sheets on a regular basis. So maybe it's time to start shipping them and start to think about other options like Digne potentially. I think Joel said earlier, Chilwell and Nelson Semedo I had my eye on as well. But I think it's only selected by about 3.8% of people. So those are my three.
I actually like Semedo. I think Wolves don't have another right wing back unless they play Chara right there. He gets forward really well. Wolves fixtures aren't great though, would be my only caveat to that.
Yeah, but Wolves he's not a Doherty replacement, Semedo. Like Doherty attacking returns were unreal last season. And I mean, maybe it takes Semedo a while.
Replacement.
He's not an attacking player.
He's basically a winger.
Yeah, I know, but he's not getting the points that Doherty was last season. And I don't know if he's...
Well, in fairness, he's only played three or four games, but I actually watched him against Fulham and he didn't get any points, but he almost scored. And
mate, they were shocking against Fulham.
Loads of problems against us. Yeah, they were shocking, but I think Semedo might even have got man of the match, albeit I think McManaman gave it out, which is no real indicator of the performance.
I feel like Wolves games are all carbon copies of the exact same thing. They're just really slow to start off with, and they just score a goal, and then that's
Jimenez
it. And
grabs the goal,
really dull. Is basically what I'd say about them.
As long as Neto keeps grabbing points, I don't really mind.
All right, I'll rattle off my quick three picks because people probably don't care all too much, but I actually think I've got a couple of useful ones. So my three picks are. I've gone kind of more realistic, genuine, credible options, not stuff like Van Aanholt and Bale, because I thought, you know, I'd actually try and give useful advice. No offense. Sure. So 4.5, Kufal, right wing back, plays West Ham, solid side, good fixtures, two assists already, and a couple of clean sheets as well. really nice fixtures after they had such a tough start, but still did well. Definitely someone I'm actually considering for my team. Midfielder, Hakim Ziyech, Chelsea looking better and better game by game. He won the left foot, properly talented on a few set pieces. I actually think he's a really good option, and his ownership's only going to go up and up along with his price. And then finally up front, I was kind of struggling this one. I was going to go with Che Adams, but news that Danny Ings is out for 6 weeks, as I said, I think that really reduces his appeal as a FPL option. So instead, I've gone for Neil Maupay. Left out of the game at Tottenham because of attitude issues. It's been specifically said by the manager, basically, that they kind of put that behind them. And he'll have a point to prove. And they're playing a Burnley side that I don't know if any of you watched Chelsea-Burnley game on BT Sport pay-per-view, but they are terrible. They are really, really chronic, and they look a shadow of the side they once were. They don't look a proper Sean Dyche side, so I think I'll
Brighton were looking really good at the beginning of the season. They've kind of trailed off a bit in the last couple of games, but I think if he can find his form at the beginning of the season, I think that's quite a good shout.
They are. May
I make a couple of points about your selections, just that we can be responsible in our guidance to our listeners. You know how you hate Che Adams now because Danny Ings doesn't play for Southampton for the time being, so you don't think they're going to create the same opportunities or play in the same way. Surely you could say the same thing about Antonio not being in the West Ham side, and then where are Koufal's assists really going to be going to? Where are their goals going to come from? With
that's,
Haller
a good,
up front?
That's a good point.
He doesn't score goals.
He's a 4.5 defender. I mean, I'm not getting him in there to be Trent Alexander-Arnold of old. I mean, if he gets I'm more going to target as a clean sheet, and then an assist is a bonus. But yeah, I take the point.
I hate the fact that West Ham are doing well, or people are talking about West Ham doing well this season. I still think there's only a matter of games before they start bottling it, and the
Taylor
Moyes effect kicks
starting this weekend for Fulham.
Yeah.
One more point I'd just like to quickly make, and I think we've actually, all three of us have unfairly overlooked, and I think he is expensive but would be a legitimate choice, is Gabriel Jesus. Only 0.7% of players have Gabriel Jesus at the moment. He came on last night and he scored in the Champions League.
It was a good goal as well.
And I'm almost certain he'll start this week. I know they're playing Liverpool. But history tells us there are a few goals in that fixture. So
they won 5-0 last time out, didn't they, at the Etihad? Liverpool also don't have Van Dijk. I think that's actually a really good shout.
Yeah.
You should have picked him in your actual team. Another one is Diego Jota's, quite an obvious option, but the one I'd be really tempted by. I actually think Klopp will start Firmino because he's stubborn and just will, but going forward,
he's got to be in with a shot though. Surely after a hat trick, his performance the other week, he's got to be a chance. He starts that City for Liverpool against City. I saw he had a price rise today, so I think he's now up to 6.4. But even still, if he's playing up top for Liverpool, and he's a 6.4 midfielder, I think that's probably bargain of the game.
If the punishment happens to be doing something bad, I think we need to create some more caveats, because aggregated price, should it be price per point or something? Because I think it's unfair if you just prop up your team with the Martials of this world that no one's gonna earn. Thoughts, Sam?
Well, I mean, we understand what the criteria is, so I mean, just as many points you can get under 10%. I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. We shouldn't be worrying about this. I think it's pretty obvious Joel is going to lose this one. And what puzzles me as well is that he was actually earlier on, which is why I think we should leave it to the listeners, but he was earlier on suggesting that we do the podcast naked. And given that it's him that's going to be doing it, it's slightly odd. And actually, when I was talking about how I was going to be doing a podcast with two of my mates, so another mate of mine, I was saying who I was doing it with, and I said, I'm doing it with Joel Stanley. And he was like, is that the guy that posts nudes on his Facebook page? And now you're suggesting to get naked on a podcast as well.
Well, I don't know about that. I didn't realise we were agreeing to this forfeit for this section.
We should agree to that. I think we should leave it to our merciful listeners.
But I don't want to see Joel naked.
Well, yeah, but also, like, no one would be able to see me naked because we're only doing it on audio.
Yeah,
but I thought this was, like, a genuine... Like,
yeah, some kind of satisfaction from it.
I thought this was, like, a kind of, like, for the coming weeks who I didn't realise this was a week because I think Palace are away to Arsenal or something. I thought this was kind of
it's a week-by-week thing. And Palace Arsenal, Villa are away to Arsenal, they're away to Wolves. Do you research?
They're home to Leeds. I didn't realize. Oh no, it's Villa away to Arsenal. I didn't realize. Okay, so maybe my people I've chosen are wrong.
They're wrong because they're wrong, not because of the caveats you just put in. Late salvage. Like yeah, Bale getting West Brom away, it's like really good fixture. That's not what put you off.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, well, if someone listens to this and says a loser has to go and lie in the middle of the street for half an hour, then begin.
That's why we're lucky enough to have merciful viewers.
That's why we're lucky enough to have no viewers.
But yeah, okay, fair. All my decisions are awful. They like my.
I don't think Watkins. You can say his name is awful.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins. Yeah, he could be all right.
Nailed that one.
But you never know. Bale could come on with 15 minutes to go and easily get two goals if something like that.
Wait, so you've chosen your player thinking, oh, he'll get 15 minutes at the end of the game and he might do something.
No, I say worst case. Oh, I don't know. Worst case.
Really tempting fate here, Sam. Bale's gonna.
I know.
Karma's going to bite back at me. It's going to be me that's sitting in next week.
Forfeit or no forfeit. All right, so for this next section, a lot of creative thinking, and we've gone for essentially, probably advice-wise, the most useless thing we could possibly do, which is called the 24-point challenge. So what that means is you've got to pick 11 players, including a captain, to get you 24 points on the button. So you could go and start 10 non-starters and then try and risk a captain who's going to get 12. But that's obviously quite a few variables. So what we're going to try and do is get a team of two. So no clean sheets field, no clean sheets in defence, no goals, no assists, no yellow cards, crucially. And that is going to be the challenge. And we're going to open up to our listeners and we're going to see if you can submit. And there will be a prize because we're all about prizes here on Midnight FPL. Joel, who's in goal for us this week?
So I reckon Guaita in goal might be a good shout. Home to Leeds. Leeds still look to be able to grab a couple goals.
Joel, but why wouldn't you go with someone playing like all the goalkeepers? You've gone for someone who's playing.
You definitely just pulled up the list and just looked at it.
Someone who's playing at home to a newly promoted side.
I don't... Mate, proof will be in the pudding. Just you wait until Guaita gets 2 points.
I reckon
the thing is, goalkeeper's more complicated because you don't want them to be playing... You don't want them to make saves as well or concede more than...
Yeah.
So you have to concede. That's the most nuanced position, I think.
But there's... I don't think Guaita is a bad shout. Leeds... I don't think Palace are going to keep a clean sheet, even though I did pick Van Aanholt in my differential.
Yeah, that's so true.
I've got Van Aanholt in there for his attacking potential, not necessarily his defence. But yeah, I think Guaita, I'd have Guaita. I'd back him maybe to make a few saves, but maybe I could see Palace conceding too, so...
Can I challenge
you've chosen him while backing him to make saves, as well as the fact that you think Palace might keep a clean sheet?
No, not a clean sheet. I don't think I think Palace could concede too.
Okay.
Again,
he makes saves.
Okay, I'm going to go for throw someone into the ring that I think is a good option, Kasper Schmeichel, because I don't think Leicester will keep a clean sheet at home to Wolves, but also Wolves don't create an awful lot of chances, so they tend to just take the chances they get.
I think that's another pretty average shout, actually, Louis. I think
I thought you were about to be nice there.
On the basis that Wolves really don't create many chances, they only scored one goal against Fulham at the time where Fulham really couldn't do anything right. I think Leicester have a good chance of keeping a clean sheet. I'm not saying it will happen, but I think they have a good chance. I reckon if you want a reasonably safe bet, I would go with someone like Aaron Ramsdale away against Chelsea. I could see Chelsea not scoring more than a couple of goals in that game.
And Ramsdale not making three saves. So you think Chelsea in that are going to have less than five shots on target, because that's essentially what you need?
Well, I don't think their penetration has been all that impressive so far this season. Yeah, that's my opinion.
That's something you look for, Sam, impressive penetration in your fantasy football. You like a team that can penetrate impressively.
Quite a strange way of delivering that question, Joel, but
everything about that.
Yes, I do like teams that can penetrate, and I really wish my club could do that.
I don't think that's a bad shout, to be fair.
Climb out.
What are you on about? I think Chelsea could easily, it could be 2-0 Chelsea and Ramsdale make three or four saves. I actually could very easily see the game going that way, so okay. I don't mind.
I don't mind that much. Concede, because I'm not that passionate about Kasper Schmeichel 2-pointers. Aaron Ramsdale in goal. Okay, Sam, I'll start with you to limit Joel's airtime. Defender. Kind of a similar discussion with defenders, but you don't want them to get an assist or clean sheet, so you'd be looking around the same club.
Definitely want centre backs, then, don't you?
Well, I was going to say, I really didn't think Everton were going to draw a blank at home, especially with the way they're playing. They're playing Man United this weekend. Man United's defence, I've thought for a long time, is really dodgy. I don't think I'm alone in saying that. So I was thinking Harry Maguire, but then again, I know how thoroughly incompetent a player he is, in my opinion.
Harry Maguire, Sam. Can I tell you one fun fact about Harry Maguire?
Yeah.
In no game this season has he got 2 points. He's got 0-4 minus
no,
one.
No, no, no.
Hang on.
That's good shout. I was thinking about Harry Maguire, and then I thought there is no way in hell he is not going to get a yellow card or do something stupid. So I thought Victor Lindelof as one of my centre backs.
He's got 2-2s, so you are doing well. All right, I'll take Victor Lindelof. I don't think Everton will score against United, I hope. So.
Do you think United will score against Everton? Because there could be a shout having someone like Keane in there.
Yeah, potentially. That's not a bad shout. Michael Keane.
Yeah, I could see that being a 1-1 draw or something.
Yeah,
I can see that. But you can't back a centre-back to go and score.
Nah.
I think it's a 24-point challenge, so if Lindelof ends up getting one, and you know what I mean, we might end up getting it to it through luck. Right, so final defender. It's a tough one, actually.
What do you think about maybe a West Ham defender? Ogbonna, perhaps?
On there, because Fulham, how many goals has Fulham scored away from home this season?
Not many, but how would you feel about Fulham this weekend, Sam?
I'm feeling actually really good about Fulham this weekend. West Ham don't have Antonio, as we know. And Fulham played so well the other day. I just think, actually, Fulham have got a decent chance of winning this one. I just wouldn't go anywhere near that game, to be honest. I think it's quite unpredictable after the last game week. So what I'd actually do is I would say that I can't imagine Brighton not scoring at home against Burnley, the way they're playing. So but I can't see them scoring many goals. So I would go with a Burnley defender, possibly Ben Mee.
Is Ben Mee back?
Is he? I mean,
he's been injured, I think.
Then I'd go Tarkowski or Phil Bardsley.
Can I throw one more name into the mix? Ruben Dias. I think City won't keep a clean sheet at home to Liverpool, but I also don't think Liverpool will go there and roll them over either.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout, actually. Or even a Liverpool defender, to be honest.
I think City could, I don't know. I actually don't know. Sam, what do you think? He's more likely to score 2+ goals, City or Liverpool?
I think I'm going to have to go with City there.
Yeah, I agree.
Liverpool played so well last night, though. In the Champions League, winning 5-0 against such a good team. I think Atalanta, that they scored last season the 7th most goals by a team in a season in Serie A history. And to beat them 5-0 away is really quite an achievement. So they're going into it with their tails up. But at the same time, City had a good game last night as well. And City being at home, I generally feel like I feel better so far this season about Man City than Liverpool. I don't know why, not really based particularly on any statistics. it's just how I feel about that game.
Hayes has been back as well could help, I reckon. You've got a proper striker up top. I think that could mean City maybe might grab a goal or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll hold my hands up and let you have Tarkowski or someone, because I think Burnley's quite a good shout.
Well, I've just checked, and Ben Mee and Phil Barsley are in fact both injured, so it looks like we're going to have to go with Charlie Taylor or even Tarkowski.
I'm going to go with Tarkowski just because he's got less points. Right, midfield, we need to speed this up. So, midfield is a real tough one. Just pick out a terrible team and then go and look through and pick a midfielder from there.
Yeah, we can't have no penalty takers at all, because that's going to screw us over. You got to have your Kante, surely. Kante's got to be in there.
But yeah, then I think we're just looking at those CDMs.
Which else are you going to keep a clean sheet and then they'll get through?
Yeah, okay, maybe not Kante then.
What about Sander Berger from Sheffield United?
Yep. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's just run through this quickly. I would say another good shout is any Crystal Palace midfielder, McCarthy.
Yeah.
Reedwald might start.
Reedwald start Rice. The last three.
Yeah, I'd say Reedwald then.
Cool. Do you say Declan Rice, Joel?
Yeah, Declan Rice. I think he's not going to get more than two, surely. He's not known for his goal scoring.
It's just whether they get that dreaded clean sheet.
But then you never know. Another Berger might get a yellow card or something. So there might be something.
Sam, you happy with Declan Rice?
Yeah, more than happy.
You're more than happy with Declan Rice.
Absolutely delighted.
We got to put Declan a West Brom in there.
Oh yeah, one of the West Brom shitty midfielders.
Oh god, they're all awful. It was almost.
Who starts there?
I almost felt sorry for them the other day. I think Livermore starts for them. I've always hated Livermore, if I'm honest.
Oh yeah, Livermore's gone 2-2-2-1-2. So
every time he played for England, I just hated him.
England.
He's got about 15 caps for England. I absolutely hate him. Oh, obviously, I'm sure he's a nice man, but on a football
pitch. Didn't he get done for doing coke or something?
Okay. No, that's not... I'm not sure. He was going through a really rough period.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he seemed actually like a nice guy, to be fair. There's a disclaimer that.
Well, disclaimer that, but it didn't take away from how awful a footballer I think he is. one player I actually, just as a small point, I wouldn't specifically go for is Gallagher, because I thought he looked really promising against Fulham on loan from Chelsea.
Yeah, I was going to say I wouldn't play for Gallagher. Exactly, class. Yeah. Strikers is a tough one, because if you start up front and get 2 points, you can easily end up scoring. So,
what about Lacazette?
At home to Villa starting.
But will he start? I'm not sure he'll start.
If he starts, he might score. If he doesn't score,
we need a player who's going to start to get 2 points, don't we?
Yeah, so rubbish suggestion.
We basically need to be looking at teams that aren't going to score. So I'd go, without a doubt, Ollie McBurnie. The amount of chances he's had in the last couple of games without scoring. He is a player.
Ryan Brewster as well.
I mean, Ryan Brewster, we've seen him play well in the past. And also, I don't think he'll start.
He played 90 against City.
Yeah, I mean,
Sheffield United have a load of strikers and they play two up front and they rotate quite a lot. So even McBurnie, I wouldn't be confident, is definitely going to start. They might go with Brewster and McGoldrick or something.
Yeah, even Billy Sharp, maybe.
I'd go for a West Brom striker.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Robinson?
He didn't start.
Well, I think he may well start this week, but I think Grant, he had a golden opportunity in the last game and finished it awfully, and when you see finishing like that from a striker, you just surely got to assume they're never going to score.
Yeah, I'm happy with Carlin Grant, definitely goes straight in.
Yeah. Who else? Potentially Haller. the man just doesn't score goals. And now that Antonio's injured, I can imagine him.
Everyone scores
starting.
Against Fulham, really.
West Brom don't.
Yeah, but that's West Brom.
But all West Ham, think back to before West Ham brightened up their ideas and brought Antonio into the team. How bad were West Ham at that time?
Yep, pretty bad.
So I think Haller is actually a safe bet.
I'm not writing Haller down. I think they might not even start him because he was that bad against whoever they played last week. Who did they play last week? Liverpool. What about, I know you're not going to like this one, Joe, what about Ollie Watkins away at Arsenal, who suddenly shored things up at the back?
I mean, it goes against my differential insight, but I could give you that one if you twisted my arm a bit, but I don't know, really. I don't know.
What insight are you talking about, Joe?
Insight.
Yeah, potentially Ollie Watkins.
I think this section's gone on too long for us not to just say Ollie Watkins and move on.
Yeah. Go Ollie Watkins.
Watkins is written down. So we've got one last place. And to make it extra exciting, this person is going to be our skipper. So we need to be absolutely certain this last striker is a two-pointer. They cannot score because that would just ruin the whole thing.
God. Tough one. Crystal Palace striker potentially, because
I've made this so tough by going for the very last pick has to be the captain.
Batshuayi, he could grab a goal though.
Anthony Barnes.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Burnley.
Wait, look at Chris Wood since the
first game. What about Mitrovic? Or no, Sam likes Mitrovic.
Look at Chris Woods. Also, Mitrovic always gets a yellow card. Look at Chris Woods last 5 game weeks. It's 2-2-2. He's non-stop twos.
Yeah, Chris Wood.
Bang, Chris Wood.
I think we can leave it there.
Chris Wood, brackets C. That is our 24-point challenge. It wasn't very streamlined. We'll do our research before next time. If you guys can send in, your combination has to be in a proper fantasy criteria, so 3-4-3, 4-3-3, etc. Then there will be a prize, which again will be announced in due course. I don't think it'll be as good as an England football shirt, but it will be something.
It's a tough competition, though, to be able to call out a 24-point team.
I don't think anyone will do it ever.
Yeah, neither. So we could make it a big prize if it lasts the whole season.
I think it should be a rollover prize. I think it should be like we each put in however much, and then it just slowly accumulates.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Like that.
And if we win it, we force our listeners to give us money.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
All right. So I think that's all we've got time for. This is a work in progress. We appreciate anyone who listened to the end and accepts that is probably very few people. Going forward, we have some interesting potential news. We have another guest, Joseph Tully, who's another one of our mates from school. Not any more interesting or fun, so I wouldn't stay tuned for that. However, he has a friend from university who is the nephew of Neil Warnock. So, you know, he's going to be tapping him up, and there is rumours that Neil Warnock could be the first guest on Midnight FPL. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, guys, for listening.